Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church, and we are a congregation of the ELCA in Greene, Iowa. Today is Sunday, January 10th, the first Sunday after Epiphany, and today we're marking the baptism of our Lord. Our first lesson today is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Here ends the reading. I'll also interject here, a request for help. If you would like to read in worship, let me know, whether that's for an online service or whether you're willing to in person. It'd be nice to start putting together a schedule of people who are willing to help. So leave a comment or send me a message, call the church office. Let me know. Love to have some voices besides mine as part of worship. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been wrestling for the last several days now with how this weekend's readings, the story about Jesus getting baptized and the story of God creating the world that we're so familiar with, how these readings are relevant to what's going on in our world right now. I'm always happy to preach about baptism, but we had a baptism last weekend, even though nobody else could be here besides family and I. Hopefully you saw the pictures. But we just talked about baptism. And if we were here in person, perhaps I'd ask you to dip your fingers in the baptismal font water and make the sign of the cross. But that's tough to do through a screen. And I have a strong suspicion on this 10th day of the new year that the questions at the top of your mind today are not theological debates about whether John the Baptist is an Elijah figure or how exactly the Trinity is present in the Father speaking and the Son in the water and the Spirit descending all at once. I'm guessing that's not your biggest question right now. It's not really my biggest question right now. A few weeks ago, as we entered the season of Advent, we had a reading from Isaiah with what I think is one of the most important verses in all of Scripture, Isaiah 64:1. Where the prophet cries out to God, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." And I talked then about how the season of Advent is about waiting, and how hard waiting is, and how tired we get as we wait, and how it feels like we're in this in-between time doing so much waiting, waiting on the world to change, as John Mayer puts it. What's harder is figuring out exactly what we're waiting for and when it will be here. A month ago, it felt like we were waiting for 2020 to end. I've seen so many jokes and recap articles about how hard 2020 was and unprecedented, that most overused word of the year. And I think on some level, I started to buy into the suggestion that the new year, 2021, would somehow make it all better. And obviously, I knew that wasn't right. I knew that flipping over a calendar page would not actually change anything. But did you have that temptation too? To think that 2021 would be a new start, everything would be better? Well, we are just over a week now into the new year. We survived 2020, and last night Kristen showed me a meme on Facebook of someone saying, "Okay, I'd like to cancel my subscription to 2020. I've completed the 7-day trial and I'm just not impressed." I think I feel a bit that way myself. This week we've gotten a glimpse politically of how fragile and also how resilient on some level our democracy is. We've seen the tragedy of how people are living in information bubbles fed by media who live on peddling outrage. We've seen how people can be so afraid of the future, so afraid of being displaced, of losing power, that they're willing to try to tear down the entire system, and not just rhetorically. It's not hard to see how alive and well hatred, racism, sin, and fear are, even in 2021. And at the same time, and if you've missed this in the news cycle, that's understandable. At the same time, just this week, we've broken our national record for the most deaths from coronavirus, from this pandemic, at least twice. And vaccine distribution is taking longer than expected. And so I'm still stuck on some level on that reading from Isaiah that we heard at the end of November. "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, break into this fragile, broken world, O God, and come do something. Make it better. Help us." Today's gospel reading is the beginning of Mark's story of, as he puts it, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And part of what's interesting about Mark's gospel, and we're going to hear a lot from Mark this year. It's the year of Mark in the lectionary. We mix in bits of John, but mostly we'll hear from Mark this year. Part of what's so interesting about Mark is that he skips entirely over Christmas. You can set aside just about everything you know about the Christmas story to read Mark. I don't know if Mark ever heard about the shepherds and the wise men and the manger story, but if he did, he doesn't care. It's not important to the story he's telling. Instead, Mark begins his telling of the Jesus story with a character named John, a baptizer who appears in the wilderness, on the outskirts, in the wild places, outside of society, the place where you would not expect God to be. John appears in the wilderness, and he's a wild sort of man wearing rough clothes made of camel's hair, eating strange food of locusts and wild honey, sort of an all-natural diet. And the people from the city and the countryside are coming to him to repent, to confess their sins, and to be washed by him in the water of the River Jordan. "And in those days," says Mark, as he introduces his main character, "Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the River Jordan." And listen to this part. This is God's answer. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophetic cry. "Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him." At Jesus' baptism, this festival we're celebrating today, God tears open the heavens and comes down. It's the same promise the other gospel writers tell in their Christmas stories. God has come to us, God with us, Emmanuel. Mark doesn't use that term, but it's still there. Emmanuel, God is with us. Matthew and Luke focus on the promises that the angel reveals to Mary and Joseph to tell that story and fulfill that promise. Luke talks about the prophets Anna and Simeon recognizing Jesus' identity in the temple. John, for his gospel, talks about the Word becoming flesh and living with us, the light entering the darkness. For Mark, God's plan to redeem the world begins at Jesus' baptism, with the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending like a dove. And by the way, I usually picture that moment as a soft white dove slowly and gracefully fluttering down towards Jesus, and that's the way most art depicts it too. But I saw someone point out this week that birds do not only descend slowly and gracefully, sometimes they dive straight down. And I think this week I like that image better. The Holy Spirit diving into the world, urgency coming into our world. And in case we missed the point, Mark will come back to this imagery of the heavens being torn open two other times in his gospel. In a few weeks, we'll hear the story of Jesus' transfiguration on the mountaintop, when a voice from heaven will again declare Jesus' true identity. This is God's Son. And then, on Good Friday, as Jesus breathes his last upon the cross, Mark describes the veil in the temple being torn in two, this boundary that sets apart God's dwelling place being ripped open. God is loose in the world. So the promise that I want to share with you today is simply that God has heard our prayers and entered our world, that God has not forgotten us. In the person of Jesus Christ, God is here. God is not afraid of the disruption and the chaos in our world, the uncertainty we're facing as a nation and as individuals. In that first reading, in the very opening pages of the Bible, we hear that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And maybe you've heard me talk about this before, but in the ancient Near Eastern understanding of the world, the waters represent chaos, darkness, evil. And so God comes into the watery nothingness, the formless void, the uncertain darkness, and God gets to work, creating, speaking the world into being, forming everything out of nothing. God is not hindered by fear and chaos. Instead, in the wilderness, God is beginning to work. And as evidence of God's work, I invite you to consider yourself. Consider your own baptism. Not only has God broken into the world, God has torn apart the barrier of sin that separates you from your Creator. You are forgiven. By the work of the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that descended to Jesus at his baptism, you have been washed clean and given new life. You've been given meaning and purpose. You've been named beloved by God, claimed as God's child, invited and gathered into the body of Christ, the church. And as I said, it's hard to invite you right now to come up to the baptismal font and dip your fingers in the water and trace the cross on your forehead. Not being together for worship is certainly part of the disruptions and the wilderness of this year and last year. But I invite you to do it anyway, to trace the sign of the cross and remind yourself, I am a child of God. You are a child of God. You are claimed and named beloved. And beloved of God, remember your baptism. Remember that God has torn open the heavens and come down into this world out of love. May you see and share God's presence this week. Amen.